Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And Asa Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And if you want to see a picture of our own Dalton Anthony at the conclusion of his wrestling match last night. Yes, he is involved in independent wrestling for my listeners here that don't listen to PWU.
Yeah.
Or any other show Dalton is on.
Accurate.
Which is pretty much PWU.
So, yeah. Anytime you've showed up on any other show.
Anyway, if you guys want to see the conclusion of his episode, we posted a picture of it on our Facebook at facebook.com/podzilla1985. It's pretty fantastic. Yes, Dalton did lose, and in a phenomenal way. They had to throw in the towel, folks.
Also, if you feel bad for me looking at the conclusion of that match, one post down, you can see two shirts I'm producing. Get a hold of me. We'll make a deal.
All right, so now that we got that out of the way, Punisher. I want to talk about Punisher. This might be my least favorite Netflix Marvel series.
Even more than Iron Fist?
Even more than Iron Fist.
Oh, wow. I don't know if I can go, which again, I haven't watched anymore since, actually, I think I might have watched another episode or two. Because did I see four episodes last night or last week?
Yeah, you said you had finished episode four.
Okay, so I think I'm at episode six. I think I finished episode six. So I do think I've seen two more.
Okay. Because I'm not finished with it yet. Like, folks, that's how not great this is.
Oh, yeah, I haven't. Like, I'm episode six.
Yeah, I cannot make myself excited to watch it. Like, it's mostly boring. Like, the action scenes are fine. They look way cheesier than I feel like they have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like the blood effects they look almost like
Walking
cheap
Dead.
YouTube quality.
Mm-hmm.
Like Walking Dead has better death.
Like with the splatter.
The splatter. The splatter is so bad.
It's worse than Walking Dead.
I haven't watched much Walking Dead.
Okay, because I've
watched the first episode of Walking Dead, and the gore was better in that.
Okay,
fair enough.
It didn't ruin it, but it did kind of take me out of the gym fight scene.
Yeah.
Which I loved that scene and that fight. I thought was, like, that might be my favorite part of the season so far.
But, it's still my favorite part of the season.
But yeah, some of those blood effects that just kind of, like, they add just, like, a little bit of spray.
Yep.
Like and a Mortal Kombat fatality type deal.
And it looks like it's out of a Mortal Kombat game because it's ridiculously clearly CG.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not good. And, like, there's some where, like, they do some blood splatter effects from, like, bullet wounds that are extra cheesy and just look off.
Looks like it should be from Supernatural.
A little bit, yeah. Also, there's significantly less John Bernthal. What's the word I'm looking for? The grunting
screaming?
Does. Because I don't know if I call it screaming.
I can't do my normal impression. My throat is shot.
Yeah, I don't know what you would call it normally, but yeah, no, there's a lot less of that, which I'm kind of okay with. But at the same time, I found myself missing it.
Oh yeah, no, it's an endearing trait once you realize that this is just what he does. Okay,
this is what he does when he's about to murder a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm not able to get into Jigsaw's storyline at all. They're the storyline that I'm way more interested in. They just pepper in sporadically. It's just I don't know. I can't get into this at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to force myself to watch an episode.
That's never good.
No. I'm gonna try to finish it this week, but yeah, I'm hoping because it really bums me out to hear you say that you're nine episodes in and that turning point hasn't hit yet, like from the first season.
Yeah,
because I'm like, all right, well, that's three more episodes I have to get through. Which there's only is there
13 episodes?
Okay, there's
13.
Dang it. Okay.
Yeah, they decided to forego the 10.
Mm-hmm.
We needed three more.
The Punisher needed three more. No, the Punisher. Like I would be happy if it was resolved next episode.
Well, and especially because like so was what I said last week. Do you feel the same way where it feels like nothing's really happening? Like they are not progressing the story in any meaningful way. And so like the stuff with like Pilgrim and Girl.
Mm.
Like we still don't like and as of episode six. We have a better understanding of finally what is going on. Like, so that's why, but it's, we still don't know anything about the Schultzes.
Yeah.
For the most part, and it's, like, it took us six episodes to get even this, like, base level amount of knowledge, but four or five episodes in, it's just, like, okay, so there's this creepy psycho-religious dude chasing this girl. We don't know why. She won't say why.
Yeah, I'm we've just, like, annoyed. By the episode that I'm in, we have gotten all of that is kind of settled, like all the motivation and everything's out of the way. Mm-hmm. And they're bringing up more like backstory with the preacher dude,
Pilgrim.
Yeah. It's still just like, and that's the storyline that I'm talking about that I'm way more interested in, but we get like, that's peppered in occasionally.
Right. It is a pretty heavy focus on
Billy
Russo,
which, yeah, I am not like, they have not really progressed that in any meaningful way. Like at where I'm at right now, he is still trying to figure out why Frank is trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been told at this point. But he doesn't believe it,
mm-hmm.
and he doesn't know it.
Yeah,
it's.
But he's still. But it's that weird thing where it's like in one episode he is like this helpless, like childlike brain. First section, cut to him organizing a group of people to go steal a car.
Yeah,
and it's like that. This doesn't really add up, but
yeah, I'm really confused, like with like everything that's happening right here. Like it feels like they're trying to give us a prequel story of Billy Russo, like how he got to where he was in season one.
Mm-hmm.
Because
but
I would
doing it after.
Yeah, they're doing it after happened. The fact, using amnesia as a tool. Because that was something I was thinking about. Like whenever that happened, it's like, okay, so I could kind of see this being like, I got him repeating what he did, and mm-hmm. maybe they're trying to lead toward what made, spoilers for season one, I guess, what made Billy okay with Frank's family dying.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, he even talks about it in the show, like, you know, they were a family to me, like, I could never do that, like, mm-hmm. blah, 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 blah. And, yeah, it's just like,
Yeah.
I'm not here for it. Like, it's just, it's not entertaining. There's significantly less action than there was in season one.
Yeah, that feels like there's about one big action piece per episode,
which is not enough for Punisher.
Yeah, which is lower, especially, and it's lower than what the first episode feels like it was.
That's where I'm at on the Punisher. I still haven't finished it. Maybe by next week I'll have it done, mm-hmm. and I can come back with you guys like, nah, the ending made it worth it.
Yeah, once you get past once you get past episode 10, that's when it really kicks in.
you gotta plow through 10 episodes though. Ugh.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. No, I'm really bummed because I really liked the first season.
But we're still getting a third episode of, or a third season of Jessica Jones, right?
Yep.
Okay, good.
So, you know, we're not going out on this note.
Yeah.
Oh my God, if we were going out on this note, I would be so mad. Same at Netflix and Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Same showrunner for Jessica Jones?
From the first two, yeah.
Okay, good.
Good.
That's the whole thing, because like, if that changes, like,
that one would kind of hurt.
I wouldn't be holding my breath on that one.
I know I am in the minority, but I still think Jessica Jones season two might be the best Netflix thing.
I carpool with somebody to work, and they've told me the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, she was just like, no, that's like just one of the best pieces of television ever made.
Yeah, Jessica Jones season one and season two. Like, I like the season two part is the hot take. Like, there's of people that debate whether, like, Jessica Jones or Daredevil are the better of the Marvel series mm-hmm. on Netflix. But Jessica Jones season two being the best one is definitely the hot take.
Just the way that everything resolved in that season blew me away. I did not see any of that coming.
Yeah.
And it just, like, I thought it was very, very, especially for a superhero story, like, it was a very brave piece of storytelling choice to go with how everything played out.
And it was so good. And yeah, no, like, when I say that's a hot take, don't get me wrong, folks. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody puts Jessica Jones season two outside of top five if they've watched every season of this of Marvel television.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody puts it outside of top five. It's, but yeah, just it's number
not,
one.
It's not number one like I said, I know I'm in the minority of people.
Right. Because I would put season one above season two,
mm-hmm.
but I loved both of them a lot.
Mm-hmm. Plus, season one had David Tennant.
Yes,
for a lot more
did.
Of it. And
yeah, and Boyd, like, he just, his Purple Man performance. Mm. Oh my God.
So terrifying.
He is so good as a bad guy. So good. All right. So anyway, yeah, Punisher is, yeah, you mean, it is what it is, I guess. Hopefully Kevin's enjoying it, because I know, like, Punisher, I think, is his favorite thing. Like, he watched Daredevil so he could understand, like, more of the Punisher backstory. He absolutely loves it. So hopefully he's still good with it, because and anybody else that's big Punisher fans, like, I hope you guys are enjoying it, and I'm sorry I'm not.
Yeah.
Do we know if Shannon's been like
I don't know if Shannon's watched it at all.
Okay, because I know Shannon really liked that. And I know Justin also is a big fan of
but
it.
But he hasn't started it yet.
Oh, he hasn't? Okay. Mm-mm.
No, we talked about it last night.
Okay. Which that honestly kind of surprises me that Justin hasn't started it yet.
He just hasn't had time, he said.
Yeah, fair enough. All right. Black Widow. We got a little bit of update here. Now, this is take a grain of salt here, folks. But reportedly, this is going to be R-rated. Mm-hmm. So this will be the first R-rated film to come out of the MCU.
Which, neat.
Yeah.
Black Widow is definitely a movie that could suit that R rating.
Yep.
Especially, you know, if you're going to do another just like spy thriller, especially if the rumors of it being a prequel
are
true. When she goes like super deep and...
Yeah. Gets really, really into the undercover business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, kind of the like, all right, well, maybe if Disney does make a Deadpool movie...
This would be evidence that Disney would be okay with continuing that. And I cannot see them dropping Deadpool to PG-13 for the third movie.
That said,
it works.
Once
Upon a Deadpool.
Once Upon a Deadpool made the PG-13 work.
Yeah, I can understand that because it was specifically going for like removing all of the gore, the swear words.
Right, but you could also still just have Deadpool be like, "Oh, okay, well, no, well, I'm about to do something, but let me just move the camera over here so you can't see what I'm going to do to this person."
Then you see body parts flying.
Yeah, because we got to keep that PG-13 rating, and then, but at the same time, like, I do find it a little hard to believe that. Marvel or that Disney would take a core MCU member and turn that into a rated R movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
So like, I'm not saying it's out of the realm of possibility. It's just like I would be surprised if they did that.
Especially because this could and
If they would tie it into the MCU. Like right. If they decided to make a standalone Black Widow thing, like what they're doing, like the terribleness that's worlds of DC.
Ooh.
Like if they wanted to do a separate,
I don't even want to entertain that thought.
I know I don't either, but that's the only like.
I don't know. I could still see them making this R-rated just so that they could put in some, you know, like they want to make it a hardcore action movie,
right?
Where there's blood flying everywhere, Black Widow's just killing a ton of people. I could, but at the same time, like that's not really Disney's MO,
right? And do you think that they then just remove Black Widow from other MCU movies?
No, I mean because like, Marvel. Marvel in the past has brought in like the ultra violent characters like to like the mainstream comics and they just toned them down.
Right, but now they haven't done it in the movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's a whole separate.
It is, and that's basically what I'm saying is like there's precedent for this type of thing coming before, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a different medium and a different company tech. So yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what they do with it. But
this is the first. This would be the. It is the first solo female, right?
Yeah, this would be. Well, no, Captain Marvel.
Oh, all right. Well, then negate everything I was about to say.
Yeah.
Because I was about to be like, it's a bummer though, because like it's the Black Panther argument. Like, if you put an R rating on that, you alienate a. Well, comic book fans, I actually might beg to differ myself on that. But like comic book fans, you put an R rating on that, it's going to deter some people from going to see it with their kids. And it's super important to me that like every child has a representation in like comic books and like comic book movies, because that's super important. And it's just like, all right, we got Black Widow. It's rated R though, and like some parents are going to be like the good ones are going to be like. I can't take you to see this, but I forgot Captain Marvel. So everything I just said, you make it as messed up as you need it to.
Because Captain Marvel is there. You have your shining beacon of hope, like white girl.
Oh man, the Marvel Legends for that movie are amazing.
Yeah, apparently they've been spoiling some of the.
They definitely are,
because I've been avoiding like because I saw news on it like Marvel Elite scroll.
Yeah. There's one of her in like the leather jacket without the helmet, and like I've been buying the movie more because I'm getting them on clearance at Target, but like the Captain Marvel ones are still like 20. She's wearing like a leather jacket, no helmet. It is gorgeous, and I'm like, that's probably gonna get bought. Like, unfortunately, that's gonna get bought.
And I'm also really, really excited for that movie. But yeah, no, they definitely have like that representation, because like I was also thinking about the argument of toys. Because, it's one of those things, like, I hate that there still are boys' toys and girls' toys.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going away, which is a good thing. Like, just their toys, like let your kid play with whatever they want to play with. But it's still a thing. And I could see, like, if Captain Marvel wasn't coming out, like if Black Widow was going to be the first one, then, you know, that would be Disney, if they make it rated R, passing up on an opportunity to market a toy toward girls.
Yeah. I will say they did, like, Toys R Us had them, but they were like these 10 to 12 inch, like almost porcelain dolls. They weren't porcelain, or they might have been more Barbie-ish, but they were like gender swaps of like all of your major Marvel characters, and they were gorgeous. Like, it was one of those, like, I know I'm a big toy collector, but it becomes that one, like, Saturday Night Live skit with American Girl, where, like, there was an explosion and this guy's buying these dolls. No, I'm buying it for my niece. Well, you named it and was having a tea party with it. Be like, it was for my niece. Like, I can't buy dolls. Like, but they were absolutely gorgeous. And it's the whole thing of, like, it's cool that they'll take it that way. If it is rated R, that's really neat that they're taking it that way. I'm just kind of bummed out that it's that character. Not that it won't be amazing. Like, I'll go see it, but I'm not the one that they don't have to worry about my ticket. They have to worry about other tickets.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, there's no telling if Disney will actually do this or not. Like I said, grain of salt, because it's reportedly happening. And I would be okay with this kind of being their test, because it's one of those things, like, Black Widow, by, like, her name alone is going to sell tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So they can test this out with the R-rated market and see if it actually sells. If it does, they can give us, you know, like, a Ghost Rider movie. Or I'm trying to think of some of the other ultra-violent guys.
There's a lot of them that you can make R-rated movies with.
We can get an X-Force movie at someday in the distant future.
Yeah, like, there's a lot that you can do with it. There's a picture of those dolls. Like, they're, like, the clothing on them is absolutely awesome. But, yeah, no, there's a lot of characters that you can flip into. Like, I think you can pretty much do it with almost anybody except for the main Avenger. Like, the main Avengers. So, like, Captain, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Thor, and Hulk.
There are two captains, sir. When you mean America, I know.
Captain America, yeah, my bad.
Because there's also Captain Marvel now in the MCU.
Yeah, that was my bad.
It's all right.
But you knew what I meant.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did. And I'm sure every listener did. And they're like, why is Jesse such a pedantic douche?
Well, no, because if I'd have said America, somebody would have been like, well, Mandy likes blah, 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 Chavez. And yeah, and then I'd be like, yeah, I hate everybody.
Cap. Captain Marvel.
Cap, the dude. That one.
Okay, so I have seen something. I knew I had seen something previously because I was looking to see if Disney had ever released an R-rated movie before.
Mm-hmm.
They have not released one specifically under Walt Disney Company Motion Pictures or whatever that's called.
It's under their sisters.
But they do own, like, they did own Miramax and Touchstone.
Yeah.
So they had other studios release them. But Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney, whenever the news broke that Disney was going to be acquiring
Fox,
or could potentially be acquiring Fox, back in December of 17, he, and this is a quote, there may be an opportunity for an R-rated Marvel brand as long as we let audiences know what's coming. Now, granted, that's more than a year ago at this point.
Which, but honestly, like, had you said that anything can change,
mm-hmm.
and had you said, like, we are never doing an R-rated thing, it's like, well, yeah, but if the crowd demands it enough, you're not going to turn away that money.
But, like, because, yeah, they could do kind of like a Marvel Max or whatever it was called.
I think it was Max. Yeah.
Like, they could do, like, Max Studios or something and put – they would just need to be – the marketing of that would be very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's Disney, and they would very much want everyone to know, no, this is – like Deadpool. This is not a children's movie.
Yep.
This is a spy movie based in this world that your kids love, but they can't come see it.
Well,
but you're going to take them anyway.
You just have to know what's coming, because that was the thing with, like, Logan. I back to this. When Mandy and I went to see Logan at, like, it was a late night show, like 10 or 11. We went to see Logan, and there was a mother and father in there with, like, all five of their children.
Because, of course, there were five.
And, like, I think the oldest one may have been 9.
Yeah. But it's Wolverine. He wears the bright yellow. It's fun.
There was not a... There was no
stitch of yellow.
You were about to say, there was not a bright color in that entire palette. Maybe the sun?
There was not.
Yeah. And if you watch the noir version, if you're a wussy, me, there was not a single... Also, that movie's awesome in black and white, BT dubs. Like, that's an amazing movie in black and white.
Yeah, that movie was so gory that Mandy was looking away.
I did too.
And there were 9-year-olds and younger. Like, the youngest may have been 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. Like, because it may have been, like, you know, children and their friends or something.
That kid's
like
got PTSD. Sleepover.
Remember what I said about the good parents?
These were not.
Unless they're PZ. No, if they're PZ85 listeners, you're not good parents. If you saw Jesse and Mandy and you brought your 4-year-old to Logan
at 11 p.m.
Even worse.
Yeah, no, everything about that situation was bad. Like, yeah, Mandy and I saw them walk in, and like, we both just kind of looked at each other like, are you kidding me right now?
This is literally the worst possible scenario.
Like, we're about, because honestly, like, selfishly, we were just sitting there like, no, we're going to hear children crying.
Mm-hmm. That's going to make the
loudly.
It's going to make the deaths more brutal.
Yeah, fortunately, they all stayed very quiet.
Oh, yeah, they're
like,
probably
stunned, like, PTSD-induced... state of shock.
No, in fairness, the oldest one has definitely been stunned for at least 4 or 5 years. So I'm willing to say they made him watch Saw. So, like,
that was less gory than Logan.
Yeah, but it was more elaborate. Like,
I'm trying to think of the first Saw movie, I think, was, yeah, it was definitely less gory than Logan. Oh, that's weird.
In black and white, it's not that bad. I mean, it's still pretty bad, but it ain't that bad.
So, anyway. Excuse me. Yeah, we'll have to see. We'll tell you guys if we learn anything else. That would be really interesting, though, if like Black Widow was the first in like an R-rated franchise of Marvel movies.
But since we have Captain Marvel, no harm, no foul on me. Now I want it. I was kind of against it until I realized Captain Marvel was still coming up.
Until you were reminded.
Yeah, gracias.
All right, Resident Evil TV series reportedly in the works at Netflix. That would be neat. Hopefully better than the movies.
I mean,
the movies were just kind of dumb fun, though, right?
If you separate the title Resident Evil from those movies, I think a lot of the fan base wouldn't be as critical of them.
I only watched
if it was just like a dumb action horror movie, then I think
it could have stood on its own feet.
Yeah,
but they put Resident Evil on it for reasons.
Yeah,
so that they could use some of the same like terms. Yeah, no, I only watched the first one, I guess, in fairness. I shouldn't say much. And then I think Shannon talked me into seeing, like, the fourth one in theaters with him.
But it wasn't Resident Evil 4. It was, like, Resident Evil, like, Revelations.
Yeah, they stopped using numbers on it for whatever reason. But regardless, I think Shannon talked me into seeing that one in theaters. And I remember watching it and was like, this is terrible.
Which, I mean, I haven't seen any of them. I just, like, from people I've talked to about it, like, who have seen it and they've, you know, dug it. But, it's a stupid B movie popcorn flick.
Yeah.
With a triple A budget.
That didn't need
hell yeah
Resident Evil's name attached to it at all.
Yeah, no, it definitely did not. Like, there was, at least from the two films that I saw, there was very little correlation between the two. Like, they were absolutely in different universes. Like, there was a couple of names thrown around and there was a terminology thrown around, like some of the bare general ideas, like Umbrella Corp was involved.
Raccoon City.
Yeah, right.
But like, in fairness to them, when they were making those movies, Resident Evil like 4 through 6 were very much like those movies.
Resident Evil 5, I'll give you. Resident Evil 4 was still very much horror survival.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, Resident Evil 5 was definitely action horror.
Yeah, because like, I played Resident Evil 5 with like my friend, me and my friend Barry. We literally rented it like at 10 o'clock in the morning from Family Video, and we just co-oped the story all day.
Yeah, RE5 was a fun game. Yeah. But yeah, no, it was definitely not a, it wasn't a, they had drifted away from the horror survival at that point. It was more action horror.
Yeah, 4 was, people consider 4 a little bit more of an action game just because it's the first one that got rid of the tank controls, but it still very much was bullet management and inventory management, and you know you couldn't move and aim at the same time.
Okay.
But when it got rid of the, it was the first game in the main series to get rid of the tank controls. Mm-hmm. So that kind of,
yeah, that made
changed,
it a little
changed
bit.
People's opinions for it.
I need to play 4.
It's really good.
Yeah, no, and I heard it's really good for a decade now.
I am, not only am I a baby when it comes to survival horror games, like Resident Evil 2 looks awesome. Like, it looks gorgeous, it looks scary. Like, I'm super interested in it. I am trash at inventory management. And when it's such a vital component of those games, it's why I never beat Resident Evil 4. Because I got to a point where it's like, oh, I'm going up against like a boss or something, or I'm at this really tough part and I'm out of ammo. And I cannot, this is an enemy that I cannot just like stab.
And that definitely happens with the Resident Evil games. Like, it's one of those, like...
Also, the you have to use the... which, in Resident Evil 2, I know you can... It's a separate mode you have to turn on to have to do this, but I'm pretty sure it was still like this in 4, where you had to have the ink ribbons to be able to save, so you could only save a limited number of times, and you had to have it in your inventory.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to do that. I hate that mechanic, because, again, I'm just like, because I'm the kind of player, like, if I'm playing Pokemon, oh, I caught a thing, save it immediately. Well, better save it again just to make sure that it actually stuck.
Yeah, no, like, well, I, when I save it a second time, it's mostly because, like, did I save? I don't remember.
Yeah.
So I'm going to save again.
Also that, but where, if, you know, if I'm looking like, wait, did I have four ink ribbons or three? Because if I just saved.
Because I think in Resident Evil 2, you have to turn on the mode for that to be a thing.
You do. But, yeah, there's like a hardcore mode.
Otherwise, you can just kind of play through it. Because I was watching some streamers play it. Because I am interested in Resident Evil 2. Like, whenever it goes on sale, I'll probably pick it up. Because I liked RE2 a lot. I played it way after the fact, which I never beat it because of that. Because it did not age well, like, at all. I'm interested in this one. It looks really, really pretty, too. But inventory management, like, that's a staple of a good horror survival game. And, it's definitely not easy to do if you're used to, like, run-and-gun action shooters. Which, Resident Evil 5, like, there was ammo dropping from everything. Mm-hmm. Like, herbs all over the place.
Wasn't 6 like that, too?
Resident Evil 6 was split into 3 parts. So it was a little bit more complicated.
I just remember no one liked it.
I liked 1/3 of it.
And I also remember...
It was the only 1/3 you played.
The
I played all through it.
The Reddit joke that... Or just the internet joke that...
Of the giraffe?
That's an After Dark reference. We'll fill you in later.
Gracias.
Yeah. Resident Evil 6 was split into 3 parts. You had the horror survival bit with... I don't remember who it was. It was Leon and someone else the horror survival bit. Jake and Ada were that was the other one. That was where Ada was. I don't remember where. No, it wasn't Ada. Either way, it's been a while.
There was a horror survival.
There's a horror survival, an action horror, and then kind of like a combination of the two. It wasn't quite as, because you had Chris Redfield back for the action horror part. And it was basically running around with like a squad of soldiers with giant monsters attacking. It was really cool.
That's
neat. It was very much, you know, action-y. And, you know, there's some zombies involved, but it was just very action-y. Then you had the Leon bit that was actually felt a lot more like horror survival. There was some inventory management involved, but, you know, the co-op kind of like mitigated that quite a bit. And it was fun. Like, I enjoyed playing through that part. The action horror part was, we just needed to get through it so we can get to the last part.
Mm-hmm.
Which they did some cool stuff with Resident Evil 6. And I think had, like, the Chris Redfield was absolutely the worst part. The Jake bit was pretty good. But for the most part, it wasn't what it could have been. But I really, really enjoyed 1/3 of the game. The Leon bit was really fun. It was clearly like, it looked like they just mashed 3 games together, and they had like fun crossover bits, because even like the interface looked different when you went to the other parts of the story, how your, like, the graphics on like your bullets and everything, like your inventory and all that stuff looked different between the 3 parts.
That's neat.
It was kind of neat. I played all the way through that.
Sorry the game was butthole, but like,
it wasn't as bad as Operation Raccoon City.
See,
I
could never get into Resident Evil games. Like, I only played 5 because my buddy Barry was like, "We're gonna play these." I'm like, "All right, cool." But that's just the way you're making you sound. Like, they just mashed together. Just like Capcom's like, "I made this."
Yeah, pretty much.
Want to play?
You want to play now? All right. See, Matt Smith is cast in Morbius.
Cool.
So that lends more credence to the fact that this is actually happening. Which
Doctor Who, right? Purple Man, right?
No,
that was David Tennant.
That was David Tennant. Matt Smith is Doctor Who.
But it's the other Doctor Who.
He was, well, there's like 12 of them. He was the one immediately following David Tennant.
Thank you.
I think there's even more than 12. Either way.
Actually, I do think we're at like 14 now.
Where's Billy? I need Billy.
Morbius. He was the Doctor after David Tennant. He was like the third Doctor in the revitalized.
Christopher Eccleston. I forgot about him.
Yep. Yeah, he's only in one season. So... Matt Smith, Morbius. I'm really kind of bummed. Like, Venom was super successful. Like, I thought it was an okay movie. Like, I'm not going to trash it or anything. Like, mm-hmm. It was all right. It was super successful, which means Sony is going to keep on going with this Spider-Man-less Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Especially if they just do the... Venom skipped the part of being the villain for the most part, and I don't know. I didn't like Venom, and I get the feeling they're just going to do this like, oh, anti-hero, but it's totally unearned.
Yeah.
Again. So, and Morbius is a, at least Venom is an awesome character. Morbius is a lame ass Dracula. Like,
yeah. I think it would be neat, and I am going way far ahead, and it's not going to happen, and I'm aware of it. But it would be neat if you build these characters up, and then they eventually get. And I remember what I said before that. I said it would be. It's not going to happen, but it would be an interesting way to do it.
That would be a terrible way to do it.
Like if Sony was like, "All right, guys, now we have Spider-Man."
Because then you have instead of Gotham being a TV show, you have Gotham as a movie franchise. You're introducing all of these characters that are super critically like, and they're doing it. And there's a lot of people that like Gotham. I just can't see past the evil. And that's to say, it would be the exact same thing of we're introducing all of these Spider-Man villains, but no mention of Spider-Man. Yeah, Spider-Man does not exist in this universe as of now.
Yep.
And it just, I don't, especially because like part of Morbius's motivation is wrapped up in Felicia, who is very much wrapped up in Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why he is a Spider-Man villain is because of just straight up jealousy. Now, granted, I'm basing the majority of my knowledge of Morbius from the 90s cartoon. And I understand that that character has since evolved and done other things and has been made what much more darker and grittier and more legitimately like terrifying.
I mean, he was darker and grittier and more legitimately terrifying in the comic books than he was in that 90s cartoon.
Yeah.
But the cartoon still got at least bits of it right.
Mm-hmm.
Morbius has had some interesting stories, but yeah, it just, I don't like the Spider-Man-less Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
I don't, it's bad. It's a bad idea. It's a bad plan. Sony, stop it.
Mm-hmm. I really want them in the next big spider thing.
Because you know what?
Like, what about that universe? Be like, oh, he doesn't exist there.
You know what would make Sony a lot of money using these characters?
Sell them.
If they sold them to Marvel.
That makes them so much money.
Oh, they would get so much money.
But I mean, right now, like, they have a loophole.
I mean, yeah, but.
Where they basically just.
Think of how much more money they could get.
They slap their name on it. One time. And Spider-Man gets to do whatever he wants. Like, mm-hmm. Or Marvel gets to do whatever they want with Spider-Man, just Sony gets to.
Yeah, but imagine if Marvel could use all of these other characters. Imagine if Spider-Man 3, we get the symbiote.
Yeah, no, I really, really want Sony to let Marvel have the rest of the Spider characters, but like, and they do the same deal they do with Spider-Man. Like, you know, let those characters be in the MCU, and you know, just keep giving us like, stop with the live action stuff, focus all of your efforts and attention into the Spider-Verse.
And here's
like that.
Yeah, here's like the difference. If you would have said, hey, like, there's two reactions to two different statements. Sony is making a Morbius movie, but it's not going to have any Spider-Man in it. Ugh. Hey, and Marvel just announced they're making a Morbius standalone movie, but but it's in that MCU universe. Oh, well, okay then. I would be on board for that because I trust the MCU.
And at some point, like before that would have happened, Morbius would have shown up in a Spider-Man movie. Like,
even if he hadn't, if it was just like, oh, hey, by the way, we're just, you know, it'd be like a Guardians of the Galaxy, but of the Spider-Man Rogues Gallery. Just like, hey, we're making a Morbius movie. Like, weird, but okay.
And
let's see how you do.
Yeah, about to say, figure out how they're going to integrate it with Spider-Man. Yeah, basically, it's that goodwill that the MCU has built up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, anything they announce, it's like, well.
Yeah, anything live action.
It's a bold move.
Anything live action that Sony announces that's Spider-Man related, I'm not on board, which is crazy because, again, Into the Spider-Verse might be my favorite superhero movie.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's worth that title. All right, we need to get stepping through a little bit of this. We spent a lot of time talking about the first like five things. All right, let's see. WB working on Aquaman 2 already. And it looks like they're. Yeah, according to James Wan. Yeah, no, it would be really dumb for them not to be.
Made $1 billion.
Okay, good.
Also,
I was about to ask.
If you had told me 10 years ago that DC was going to release an Aquaman movie and it was going to outsell any Batman movie, I would have slapped you silly.
Like, yeah, high on
because
crack.
I would have taken you to the insane asylum.
Taking you to Arkham.
Yeah, like that's just a ridiculous idea. How could you ever propose such a thing? And yet, here we are.
It's a CGI spectacle in those foreign markets.
Yeah.
Just boom.
Boy, do they love CGI.
Mm-hmm.
We're completely outside.
And fast cars.
Have you ever seen a Bollywood film?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
They're not good.
But they make so much money overseas.
Music classes are dumb. Go break out in a song in the middle. All right, no, I know we can't talk about this a whole lot, but I don't understand.
It's almost like it's a whole other culture.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly.
I watched it all, and I was like, this is weird. This
they
is so
love
weird.
CGI spectacles. Mm-hmm. Like, some of those Bollywood action movies are just fantastic.
Dance breaks. Like, our truth would be
yeah, but
so
like
over.
None of the Bollywood films look like Aquaman.
Yeah,
no,
true,
is the
yeah.
thing. And
they don't
so
have
whatever,
that budget.
No, yeah, they don't. But so
they
like,
don't have
yeah.
Jason Momoa wet the entire time
because Aquaman looked like it was a very pretty movie. Like there weren't any. Like even Infinity War had scenes of CGI where it's like, ooh, should have spent a little bit more time on that one. Yeah. But it was. But like Aquaman didn't really have anything that garish.
That's good.
And I think it was also because of the amount of practical effects that were. Sprinkled
yeah,
into
thrown
it,
in.
But,
yeah.
But yeah, no, but this was like almost a non-story just because of how, yeah, no duh.
Yeah, right? It's just, yeah, it was just one of those things, like, it's already happening. Like, the movie hasn't left theaters yet.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, they're already like, nah, yeah, we need...
Let's get working on this.
We need more of this because this made us a bunch of money.
I do kind of hope that they don't, that post-credit stinger isn't the basis of the
movie.
Yeah, isn't the basis of the sequel, but...
We'll have to see. Rob Liefeld.
He can't draw feet.
He cannot. He still can't. He tries really hard. Did I show you the picture of like the X-Men cover that he did, like the Uncanny X-Men cover?
No.
It's all like shins and up.
there's
play
a
to your strengths.
There's a couple of feet in it. It's one of them in particular is Beast. He has two left feet. Like it looks like Rob drew one of them
and then just copied him.
He's like, man, he's like, this was a really good foot. I'm gonna do that again.
This is my best work.
This is my magnum opus to comic books. I got a toe right.
They'll have to stop making fun of me.
There were not toes. There was an arch.
It's Beast.
I know.
How the? All right. I'm again held very well. Did not cuss. How in the actual F do you not draw toes? You're going to show me later and I'm going to get really upset. We're going to post that on the the
like how you tapped my laptop. Like
description. I'm tired. description of that, though. That's going on.
It's going on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's Rob Liefeld is he's brought like I don't like him as an artist or even as a creative. But he has brought some of like the
one of my favorite characters in comic books.
Several
like, yeah.
of like the best characters in comic books came from Rob Liefeld, and he has his own universe, the Extreme universe.
Because of course
it's in all caps. It has to be. So yeah, he has the Extreme universe because he co-founded Image. And like you know, that's the one of the third party publishers where every artist's writer and artist combo, like all of their stuff is their stuff. They don't own any of the characters or anything else inside that umbrella like Marvel does. If you publish something for Marvel, or if you have Marvel publish something, they own the rights to that character. That's how Marvel works. Yep. And same thing with DC. So yeah, Image, Rob Liefeld. So he has the Extreme universe. He made a deal with Netflix last March. Apparently now that has fallen through, and Liefeld is shopping the Extreme universe out entities.
Other Rob Liefeld news, because whatever. Honestly, like I don't care. Did you see that he's creating a new X-Men character?
I did.
Did we talk about that?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Major X.
Yep.
That sounds like the worst prescription drug
He comes
in the world.
From a universe called the X-Istence.
Liefeld has not left the 90s, folks. That's where he thrived. That's where he remains.
Mojo World. He found a way to make Mojo World look like a good place to live.
Liefeld.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. Like I said, though, he's created some of the best X-Men.
Mm-hmm. So Cable and Deadpool.
Yeah, so I have to, like, I gotta give him credit, but...
No, yeah, we're not taking away from his impact in comics history, but that doesn't mean you get a pass.
On that terrible art.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't get me wrong, he draws better than I do, but at the same time.
But you don't get paid to do so.
Right.
And
he got paid so much money in the 90s. That dude was so popular in the 90s.
Literally barrel-chested.
He traced the barrel.
No, he's not Greg Land. He just got the proportions wrong.
Got to put the respect on it.
Very wrong.
Very wrong. And boy, he man needs to look up an anatomy book. Mm. Like the muscles that he adds to things.
The boobs he adds to things.
And the non-existent waists. And feet.
No, they exist.
No, he cannot draw feet.
It looks like...
they're like they're just triangles connected at an angle.
Yeah. It's a very uncharming Batman animated series feet.
It's kind of like if feet were all drawn like using the PlayStation 1 graphics as mm-hmm. as an example. You know, it's a triangle polygon, sometimes a square polygon mm-hmm. attached to with an overly detailed muscular leg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the calf is muscular. The ankle is nothing. It's like the waist. They don't exist.
Right? You don't need to.
Thank you for cable. Like I again, thank you for cable. But Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So either way, he's pulled out of his deal because I guess Netflix probably didn't want to offer him the money that he thought it was worth, or yeah. like there's any number of things that Netflix could have done to upset Rob Liefeld
mm-hmm.
because he gets upset real easy.
Punisher season 2 was the last straw.
Oh,
he's just like, no, you know what? I didn't like this. I'm out. You don't get my stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, Liefeld. Yeah, he's backed out. He's backed out of that deal. He's going to try and see if anybody else will pay for it. I'm guessing Amazon's going to pick it up because they
maybe even
everything.
Hulu or something, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Calvin. Calvin just walked in, ladies and gentlemen.
Which means,
that's our warning.
Now we got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark Millar, though, back in 2017, Netflix did sign a deal with Mark Millar to get Millar World into like the series original stuff. They've finally given us something with this. We're getting a movie. From Reborn, which was originally done, Mark Millar, Greg Capullo. Everybody here knows our thoughts on Greg Capullo.
Yes.
Anti-Light
felt actually good.
It's like same thing with proportions, but he makes it work.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he draws like a big meaty man, yeah. And then you're like, no, I buy that.
It's a slab of meat. I think he's even said that. He's like, I like drawing slabs of meat.
Every character is Rusev.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, 8-year-old kid Rusev.
They're all yelling Machka. They're like, we're in Gotham.
Yeah, they have to be strong to live in Gotham.
They lift weights.
Not a place for the weak.
So, yeah, that one's it's going to be directed by Chris McKay. This is a movie, not a TV series. And it will be produced by Sandra Bullock, likely going to star as well, but that hasn't been confirmed yet. Also, Mark Millar and Greg Capullo are on as executive producers.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think, and this is one of, like, Millar's more popular works coming out of Millar World. Obviously, Kick-Ass and Kingsman are going to be a little higher, but, and I don't know if those are ever coming to Netflix in any meaningful way. But
I would dig a, like, Kingsman initiation, like what we saw in the first movie, but, like, a TV series of it.
Mm.
I would like that a lot.
And okay. I got this little snippet pulled up for those that have never heard of Reborn because it is actually kind of an interesting premise. And so I'm just going to hit that real quick. It tells the story of an 80-year-old woman, Bonnie Black, who dies in a Manhattan hospital, only to find herself reborn in the prime of life in the afterlife world of Adistria, a magical land of monsters and dragons where good and evil are waging an eternal war. There, she finds old friends and loved ones waiting, except the husband who died before her. Armed with a sword and partnered with her late father, she sets off through the battle-torn landscape on a quest to find out where he is.
Oh my God, this sounds amazing.
It's like I said, it's one of Millar's more popular stories, and yeah, no, it sounds great. Like, I'm in for this. The look on Dalton's face makes me wish we kind of had video.
Oh my God, that is... I can't swear, but that is awesome. Like,
yeah, no, I'm up for this. This sounds great. I'm really excited about it now. And yeah, if Sandra Bullock stars in it, like I'm sure she'll be that lead character and it'll be great and it's going to be a good time.
Why is that not a Batman story? That sounds awesome.
I don't think it would work well with Batman.
No, I read those two issues of The Button. Him and his dad just slaying dragons. Yes, all day.
Yeah, but that would require like different timelines getting together and all that. No,
it's
no.
Firsthand, Jesse, comic books, which I know we're going to get into. And it'd be fine. I mean, I'm going to watch this regardless. Like that, just that synopsis alone be like, I want to see this be a thing.
Speaking of comic books, though, this next portion of our podcast is brought to you by our friends at Villainous Grounds in Berryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs. Doomsday Clock number 9, been pushed another week.
Because of course it has.
Yeah. I think the series was supposed to have been done by now when it originally announced.
I don't know about that, but I don't think it's far off.
Yeah, if not this month, it would have been done next month. It was supposed to be a once-monthly 12-issue series.
Yeah, so it should have been done 3 months ago, 2 months ago. It started in November 2017.
Yeah, so yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So it should be done by now.
Because I had one of my school, school SEMO things like the day it came out.
Gotcha. So yeah, now we have...
So how many issues are left?
Four, including number 9.
Woo! I guess I should probably start reading Doomsday Clock because I've been waiting all 12 issues.
No, I'm absolutely not, because if I get to issue 8 and then it's like, yeah, we decided against it. There's nothing else that's coming out. Oh, I'm going to be real mad.
If they cancel it at this point, I am invested in the story. If they cancel it at this point, I'm going to kill somebody.
They going to die. It's like the Power Rangers Justice League crossover.
Yeah, they canceled it.
Well, they canceled it just to bring it back.
Issues into a 6-issue series, they canceled it.
I guess we're not going to make these books anymore. We'll make the last two.
In fairness, it wasn't good.
No, it was not good
at all.
Plus, they had they had an issue with like the creative team just dropping out of it,
because I think they realized
Slash getting fired. Anyway, and some news from Marvel: the Marvel Team Up ongoing is coming back. Basically, classic series, two characters, predominantly Spider-Man. He's in like 2/3 of the lifetime of that
the
team
ongoing. Ups. It's almost like he's the best character Marvel has.
That's accurate. So
fight me, nerds.
No, I don't think anybody can. That's not a hot take. I don't think anybody's going to disagree.
Well, so, Iron Man.
Some people might say Wolverine.
Here, you want to watch me make the internet real mad?
Go for it.
So my new favorite meme that I've seen on Instagram is the one where it's the photoshopped of the character choking Sasuke.
Oh, Sasuke.
I said what I said.
Yeah, well.
Because it's a meme from Instagram.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Oh, that's your new favorite meme?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Sasuke. The
fact that it's coming from Instagram, and I can see Calvin is giving me the death glare because he knows. He knows. This guy.
He knows.
But anyway.
It's too early for my nonsense, isn't it?
Shake your head, yes.
Not breaking eye contact.
Either way. So the first arc will be Spider-Man. It's going to start up in April. It's going to be Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel. Peter Parker, Spider-Man, not Miles.
Much more interesting,
yeah.
I think because we've already had stories where Miles and Kamala,
they're still champions. Champions together.
Yeah. Is that still going?
Oh. Yeah. Different creative team now.
I dropped it after issue like 1 or 3, I assumed it was canceled.
After the second time I saw
Miles say lit,
try to use like current slang, I was like, nope.
Nope.
This ain't happening. They got a new creative team, and apparently it's significantly better now. But wow. Yeah.
Well, it's because they got somebody under the age of 40 writing for them, so it probably helped.
Yeah, probably. So either way, yeah, first arc is going to be 3 issues, at least, of Spider-Man and Ms. Marvel, and it'll be written by Eve Ewing and Joey Vasquez. Joey Vasquez on art. Eve Ewing is doing the Ironheart right now, which is being really, really well received. Mm-hmm. I haven't read any of it, but apparently it's spectacular. So yeah, no, this could be neat, and the Marvel Team Up series is usually really interesting because it just puts a couple of characters together and they kind of tell a story with it. So could be cool. All right, next portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends Josh and Alan of Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content on ps2jshow.com, including their social media links. Also, last Wednesday of every month, they do History of Gaming. Check those episodes out. They got a pretty significant backlog with a lot of good listening.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the Anthem VIP demo happened this weekend.
Well.
Is happening.
I want to hear about this.
Me and Asa tried. So Friday was day one. After Asa and I got off work, we came here to the studio and we were going to play basically all night long.
And I knew... coming in, I even sent Jesse a message like, so we're probably not going to get to play because this thing has been, it's just a big old CF.
Yeah.
For a variety of different reasons.
So many reasons, like EA dropping the ball, like EA getting the ball thrown in their face. Like,
DDoS attack.
Yeah, that was EA apparently got DDoS'd like the day of. And honestly, like they say it was DDoS'd. Part of me wonders if like, the flood of new users just looked like a DDoS to them.
That'd be kind of funny.
Way more baller.
But yeah, the I do, before we actually get into the thoughts on the game, because it was a whole ordeal trying to get in. Because
I do want to talk about like there is a difference between EA's presentation of the game this weekend and the game.
And also, I want to point out to just our listeners, because it's a thing that Kind of Funny does that I think is great. They talk about the silent majority. The number of people online, on Twitter, on Reddit, that were throwing the biggest fit because they feel so entitled to this is disgusting. Like, yes, you can absolutely be upset at the way that first day went and all the problems a lot of people had. By all means, be upset. But when you start to be insulting and making death threats, like, you have voided your ability to voice an opinion.
Yeah, no, because if you can't do it without, like, yeah, be upset that it's happening. Don't start, like, threatening and insulting people. And, yeah, no, it's dumb. It's dumb.
I just want to throw that out there.
That's fair. So, yeah, Asa and I tried for, like, Asa got in on the first night because there was an interesting hiccup on Xbox where if you actually pre-ordered the game and redeemed the code and you tried to play on Xbox, you couldn't get in. You got stuck at a title screen forever.
Mm-hmm.
Some people apparently were able to get past it with a couple of workarounds that didn't work for me. Asa got in because he accidentally registered the pre-order code to the wrong EA account. Because
apparently I have two EA accounts.
So he sent a friend code because you got three of them for pre-ordering the VIP edition. So he sent a friend code to his
other account.
Actual EA account and got in, played, no problems. So I decided to try and do the same thing, and so I created a new Xbox Live account, I created a new EA account, sent a friend code to that account, got it all set up and going, and then I couldn't connect because servers were at capacity. Folks, when I say, like, I mean, like,
we're at capacity.
Anthem, like, the number of people trying to get in on this demo crashed EA completely.
Yeah, you couldn't log into Origins.
You could not log into Origins. People could not play Battlefront or Battlefield 5.
That's an issue.
Yeah,
I would have been livid.
But again, this was I cannot believe that this was all because of Anthem. Like, I am absolutely sure that they did not allow they didn't allow for as many servers as they needed, but for this to bring down all of EA, which is arguably the biggest video game company in America, I just don't see that, because this was a pre-ordered one. Would have been like, I don't know. I don't fully.
The DDoS had to have done something with that.
Yeah, I can't put all of it on EA. Granted, the majority, yes, but at the same time, and to be fair, they were also very, like, they were constantly posting updates of what they were trying to work on and what these bugs were. It's like, okay, turns out this isn't a server issue, this is a scaling issue, so we're working on that. Okay, well, now it's this.
And EA and BioWare both were all over social media, Twitter, Reddit, Instagram, everywhere. Like, all right, guys, we know it's messed up. Like, constant updates. Like, we're working on it. Mm-hmm. And at some point, like, they got it where PlayStation and PC were good on the first night. And, like, if you were on PC or PS4, you were fine. Xbox, not so much. So when I got home, because Asa ended up leaving after a little while because he was even having a little bit of trouble, like, once he got into Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I went home, downloaded and installed it on PC. It worked flawlessly. Looking past now that happened with this weekend, which is unfortunate, but it happened. It's whatever. We're moving past it because now it's time to talk about the game.
Yes.
We're playing a 6-month-old version of the game. It's gone gold now.
Yeah.
But the one they released for this weekend is a 6-month-old build. And boy, I had a lot of fun with this game.
Yeah.
I'm excited to play a little bit more of it today. Apparently, it's good to go on Xbox now.
Mm-hmm.
So Asa and I will actually be able to get in and play some together, because we have not been able to do that yet. Asa's PC probably can't quite handle Anthem.
Wouldn't handle the loading screen.
The loading screen is very pretty.
Oh, no. Like, everything in this game, it's super pretty. The music is great. Very atmospheric. I really dug that. I question their decision to not include the tutorial for the controls.
I found out you can get to the tutorial.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, but the fact that you don't start with it.
Yes.
Because the flying controls are a little complicated, but once you get a feel for them, it feels incredible. Again, we've talked about it every time we talk about this game, but now we have first-hand experience. It's like an Iron Man game.
That's cool.
A really good Iron Man game.
Yeah. You have abilities on triggers, as well as you have slots for two weapons. So you can have like an assault rifle and a shotgun, and then on top of like launching grenades and missiles and stuff. It feels really, really good flying. My only complaint is this very much does seem like a game that I would only want to play with other people. Because like playing on normal by myself, I was getting wrecked. And maybe it was because, you know, I don't have any gear and like, and the matchmaking, because every activity that you have will include matchmaking, but trying to solo stuff like a mission, which I, and you can always change the difficulty level at will. So that's a good thing too. And everything having matchmaking, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah.
But
I do wish the free play didn't. Like, free play having matchmaking is annoying.
You can change your
preferences
to where you can launch solo, but you will run into other characters in the world, which was actually one of my favorite moments, because I'm flying around in free roam, and I get a little notification at the top of the screen like, oh, hey, there's an enemy patrol nearby or an enemy camp or something. Go take it out. So I fly over there, and I see that there's already another player there. It's like a world event. It's like a thing in Destiny, like a public event. So me and this other person with no way of communicating start like focusing fire on, all right, well, let's take out the turrets because we got all these little ads, but the turrets are going to really mess us up. So we start focusing fire, like we are drawing attention so the other one can shoot the weak spot on the back. And so we bring down the turrets and then we just wreck the rest of the ads. And then at the end, we go to the reward, we pick up the reward, and then we both just start emoting. Because it's just like, hey, that was like, and that was a super cool thing. And to be in like, so now when it's, you know, you and me going and whoever else that we can get to jump in with us.
Yeah.
I super dug it. It felt good. But it is very much a thing. I don't see myself playing solo, and I don't think I liked it as much as I hoped. But again, I'm hoping maybe playing today will change that
a little bit. Because yeah, I played it with Steven. Our own Steven here. He got it on PC as well. He's pre-ordered it on PC. So I was able to play with him. And yeah, playing it with the two of us and, you know, getting a couple of extra guys because it matchmakes you with four players total. So yeah, a squad of four. It was a lot of fun, like, just playing with Steven and, like, messing around, like, doing the flying stuff, like, getting the hang of that. And then I ended up unlocking my second Javelin because it starts you out as the Ranger, which is kind of the all-around kind of guy. I ended up unlocking the second one. I went with Colossus. Steven went with Storm. And the Colossus wasn't as much fun as I was hoping it was going to be, but I still did feel like, you know, this walking arsenal of death, which was kind of cool.
Sounds versus like a Rob Liefeld character.
A little bit. Versus Steven just raining death from above.
Also sounds like a Rob Liefeld character.
Right? It was a lot of fun, like, and I'm really, really excited to play more. But yeah, so preemptively, like, trending upwards on this game, like, it's trending towards like where I'm gonna like it as much as I'm hoping I'm going to. We'll have to find out more with, you know, between this weekend and next weekend. They're doing the open so everybody can play it next weekend.
Good luck.
Yeah, seriously. And then the game releases in full February 22nd, so yeah, looking forward to it. All right, so we'll try and speed through the rest of this because we only got a couple minutes left here before the studio is no longer available to us. Spider-Man PS4 sequel is beginning development.
Woot.
Tweet came out that he just pitched, the writer just pitched the story for the game, so that's coming. Metroid Prime 4, probably the biggest news in the last week. Significant delay because it is starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And they're bringing in Retro Studios to help who did the original Metroid Prime games. This is interesting for a couple reasons. One, Nintendo full-on announced that this was happening instead of just delayed.
Yeah.
They're like giving the actual reason behind it. That's a level of transparency that we are not used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. Especially from Nintendo.
Also, apparently, like, Retro has... I'm wondering how this is going to affect whatever it has been that Retro's been working on for the last couple years.
Yeah, because apparently they've been working on, like, a new IP that we don't know anything
about.
Yeah,
it's a project that we don't know. There's a lot of rumors going around of what it is, but nothing's been officially announced. Yeah. So I'm hoping that doesn't just put that on the back burner.
Same.
But other than that, like, the first Metroid Prime games were amazing. And now with, like, playing in, like, a pro controller, like, we're...
So, yeah, that's a little bit of a bummer, though. It's been pushed, like I said, significantly. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to get that game, I think, like, early next year, like, first or second quarter of 2020.
I don't know if they ever announced when it was coming out other than... Because we got the logo at E3, I think, last year.
Yeah, I thought they had given us, like, they had talked about a window. Like, we're hoping for...
They might have. I just don't remember it.
It wasn't anything official, like, this is happening this time. But,
yeah.
Either way, yeah, now we're probably not getting it until, like, 2021, which is a bummer. But regardless, I'm still, you know, gonna be excited for it when it comes out.
When eventually. We start seeing what it's gonna be.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat 11 Switch port. Like I didn't even know they were doing that. Mm-hmm. It's apparently being developed by Shiver Entertainment. They did the PC version of Mortal Kombat 10.
So I looked this up because that didn't sound right when you said that. High Voltage is who did the PC port of MKX. Huh.
The article I read was wrong.
This studio ended up taking over and doing like post-release content, I think.
Yeah.
So I think they were involved in the PC port, but they weren't the ones fully responsible for it. Because if it was the same company, because High Voltage is that terrible company that has just made every NetherRealm Studios game broken on PC.
Ew.
Yeah, because they did. I'm pretty sure it's the same company that did MKX and Injustice 2.
Huh.
And both of those had just busted launches.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if they ever got fully fixed, but.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember where I'd seen that. But, yeah, either way, whatever. Because I remember it being like terrible on PC, which yeah. I thought this was.
It very much was, but that was it was High Voltage was the studio who did that.
Gotcha. Because apparently these guys also did Scribblenauts at least, and yeah, I don't know. That's what the article I read said, and it was from a trusted source. Like it's where I get a lot of information.
And like I said, they may have had some hand in it, but they weren't like it wasn't. They their weren't the prime on it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Overwatch price cut to $19.99. So if you've been wanting to get into Overwatch, now it's cheaper than ever.
I think it's eventually going to go free to play.
I would think so, eventually. After, like, by its fourth year, mm-hmm. I imagine it's going to be free to play.
Mm-hmm.
Which.
They do so many free weekends.
Yeah, no, at this point, yeah, they do, like, at least a few of those a year. But either way, I. Because the game has to be making enough money out of loot boxes at this point.
Oh, hand over fist.
So, like, I'm surprised it hasn't gone free to play already, honestly. I do kind of like that it's not free to play because that limits, you know, the number of Smurf accounts.
Yeah.
But I mean, at $20, some people might pay $20 just to have a Smurf.
Yeah, people who play Smurf accounts on Overwatch are terrible.
Especially people that pay $20 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did, folks. That's the joke. I made a Smurf account.
You son of a.
I made a Smurf account so that I could play with my friend that was significantly lower ranking than I was. And then I ended up getting placed significantly higher than him. And
yeah.
I couldn't play with him with either account. All right. That's going to do it for us, guys. We'll see you next week.